ओम अज्ञान तिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजना शलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदांतिकम्। वंदेहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं त्वं सजीवं साद्वैतं साबुधूतं परिजन सहितं कृष्ण चैतन्य देवं श्री राधा कृष्ण पदान सहगना ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वंशाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवाशदि गौरभक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण। हाउ मेनी ऑफ यू आर ऑलरेडी इन्वॉल्वड इन कृष्ण कॉन्शियसनेस मूवमेंट? प्लीज रेज योर हैंड्स। Okay, and how many of you are newcomer and haven't become involved as of yet? Please raise your hands. Okay, so I can see that most of you are already involved. So, even though you're already involved, but still I thought that I will speak about Krishna Consciousness Movement. Because this reminder is important, because that makes us fixed in our commitment. This world is the world of matter. It's called the material nature. Yet in this world we see some things that do not function like regular matter. For example, matter is inert. All matter is inert. But you and I, are we all inert? Although our bodies are made of matter, are we inert or are we conscious? Very good. So, do we function like ordinary matter, like inert matter, like this table here? It's inert. This microphone, this seat, this walls, this floor, this building, these are all inert matter. But we all are conscious, or we all are living. Now, what causes us to be alive? Any response? Wonderful. The presence of the soul. Now, see what the soul does. Its presence in a body of matter, dead matter, the soul's presence in a body made of dead matter becomes alive. The body becomes alive. So that is the unusual characteristic or nature of the soul. Now, soul makes matter function in a non-material way. Now, the question is, is the soul a product of matter, or the soul came from some other place beyond this world of matter? Okay, how many of you think that the soul came from another world? Please raise your hand. Wonderful. So this is how we can see that beyond this material nature, there is another reality. There is another nature, which is non-material or spiritual. And we, the living entities, the spirit souls, came from that world. So now, where is our actual place of residence? Is our actual place of residence here or there? Our actual place of residence is there. We all came from there. That is our home. Now, if you are away from home in a foreign land, do you like to be there or you want to go back to your home? Wonderful. I have a very learned audience today. So, we all came from the spiritual world and we should go back to the spiritual world. For various reasons, we may have come to this material nature, but that is not important. Why we came here, how we came here is not important. What really matters is we need to go back there, because that is where we belong, that is our real home. Therefore, when Prabhupada started his magazine, English magazine, how did Prabhupada name that magazine? Back to Godhead. So, that objective of this mission that Srila Prabhupada established through ISKCON, its objective is to go back to the spiritual world. Now the consideration is, how does one go back to the spiritual world? So that process has been given by Krishna himself. That process has been given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right at the time of creation, when this material nature was created, this universe became manifest, Krishna made the arrangement. The first created being in this material nature, in this universe, is Lord Brahma. And Brahma, as he appeared, his situation was like, he was fully conscious, but he did not have any recollection of his past. He just found himself sitting on a lotus without any awareness of where he came from. Although he came directly from the navel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but Brahma didn't have that awareness. And that is what happens to everyone in this material nature. Whoever one may be, when he is born in this material nature, he is born in ignorance. Say, for example, when you are born, did you have any awareness of who you are? No. And that is the case with everyone. We are born in this nature in ignorance, but there is a way to receive the knowledge. And that system of transmitting the spiritual knowledge was introduced in this material nature by the Lord Himself, by Krishna Himself. Krishna instructed Brahma. Brahma couldn't see Krishna because in the material nature one doesn't have the ability to see the Lord. Because in the material nature, through our material senses, we can only perceive matter. But is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is He made of matter or He is pure spiritual personality? Like for example, we all are spirit souls. With these eyes, can we see the spirit soul? No. So, Brahma could not, or Brahma did not have the ability to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, Krishna has to impart the knowledge in the heart of Brahma by playing his flute. He played the flute and Brahma heard the sound of the flute. You know how the sound of the flute appeared? How did it appear to Brahma? It appeared, the sound appeared like Om. That is the initial sound, initial spiritual sound, which Brahma heard. And then Brahma meditated upon that sound that he heard. That he heard, from the sound of the flute. And depend on meditating upon that sound, Om, the Gayatri became manifest. It's a mantra that became manifest. The beginning word of the Gayatri, therefore, is Om. And then the purpose of the mantra became manifest. And as Brahma meditated upon that sound vibration, Gayatri mantra, then the spiritual knowledge became revealed in his heart. And that knowledge is the Vedas. What became manifest in Brahma's heart by meditating on the Gayatri is the Vedas. Therefore, another name of Gayatri is Veda Mata, the mother of the Vedas. And the Vedas are giving all kinds of informations. The initial aspect of the Vedas are giving us the information how to live in this world. Everybody wants to enjoy, and the Vedas are providing the information how one can enjoy in this material nature. Just like a child wants to play, the Vedas are saying, okay, go play. But when the child grows up, does he want to continue to play? No. When he grows up, he grows out of that. So this is how, out of his maturity, one transcends from the region or from the state when he wants to enjoy. He tries to find out the real purpose of his existence. That takes him to the next branch of the Vedas, which is called the aspect of knowledge or Gyanakanda section of the Vedas. The first aspect is Karmakanda, and then the second aspect is Gyanakanda. The proper action aspect and then the knowledge aspect. And then that gradually takes him to the point of recognizing his identity as a spiritual entity beyond this material body. In this material nature, generally everyone thinks that he is his body. But then, as he becomes situated in knowledge, he recognizes that he is not his body, but he is something, he is someone beyond this body. He recognizes his spiritual identity. And then, as he advances further, then he recognizes that he, as a spiritual entity, is a part and parcel of the Supreme Spiritual Personality. So who is that Supreme Spiritual Personality? The Supreme Spiritual Personality is God. And this Supreme Spiritual Personality is identified by various names according to his qualities. One of his most interesting or appealing quality is his attractive features. He is all attractive. Everyone is attracted by him. Or no one can help but being attracted by him when he properly becomes exposed to him. Therefore, this name Krishna is so important, or it's so dear to his devotees. He has innumerable names, but out of that, Krishna, the name Krishna is very special, because in Sanskrit, the word Krishna means all attractive. So that supreme, then the consideration is, how can we re-establish our relationship with that Supreme Personality of Godhead? In that respect, I recall one incident with Srila Prabhupada. You see, in India, Birlas are one of the richest families, the most wealthy family in India. And Srila Prabhupada was the guest of one of the Birla's relatives. And so that gentleman was asking Srila Prabhupada at one point, why are you just asking everybody to chant Hare Krishna and do kirtan and so forth? His point was, why aren't you opening hospitals and why aren't you doing this kind of benevolent activities? Now, generally people think that those benevolent activities are most important thing. So that person, with that understanding, he asked Prabhupada, why are you asking simply to chant Hare Krishna? Then Prabhupada did not directly answer the question. Often Prabhupada would do that. Prabhupada would not directly answer the question, but Prabhupada would ask a counter question. Prabhupada asked him, look, you are a relative of Birla. If one of the members of the family, Birla's son, becomes mad, when one becomes mad, what happens? Does he recognize who he is, who his father is, where his house is? Does a madman remember? No. So the son of Birla became mad, and he left home and got lost. Now can you imagine how he will be living? Although he is the son of a very rich man, but he will be struggling just to have a handful of food. People will be laughing at him, mocking at him, beating him, cursing him, abusing him. Now, if you see him in that condition, will you just give him 2 rupees and tell him that go and have some lunch? Or what will you do? When you see him in that condition, won't you just say, what are you doing here? You are Birla's son. Why are you in this condition? Come, I'll take you to your father. So similarly, Prabhupada pointed out that when we see that the children of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are going through all this suffering in this material nature, should we just give them some arrangement for some food or some medical facilities and so forth? Or should we remind them who their father is and take them back to their father? What would be the natural, intelligent proposal? Shouldn't we take them back to the father? So Prabhupada pointed out that what we are doing is simply reminding everyone who their father is, and we are trying to re-establish them in their relationship with their father. So that is what ISKCON is here for. The purpose of ISKCON is to remind everybody about their loving relationship with the father, and when they develop that relationship, when they become situated in that relationship, all their problems will be solved. So that is what ISKCON is here for. We all came from the spiritual sky, and Krishna himself has given the process by which we can go back to the spiritual world. It is not something that Prabhupada invented. It is Krishna who gave it. And Krishna comes time and time again to this material nature simply to remind us about who he is and who we are and what is our relationship with him. So this process, the introduction of this process, to be introduced into this process is called initiation. I mentioned about how Brahma became aware of his identity. How did Brahma become aware of his identity? By receiving the mantra. Brahma was fortunate, or there was no other recourse but to receive the mantra directly from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That was Brahma's situation. But from then, a system started. That mantra, or the process of developing spiritually, has been continuing from the teacher to the student. Krishna was the teacher in the first case with Brahma. Brahma was the first student. Then in course of time, Brahma became the teacher, and his son, Narad, became the student. And since then, Narad is giving this facility or creating this opportunity for everyone. In the Vedic scriptures, we find that whenever somebody becomes ready for spiritual advancement, for spiritual life, Narad Muni comes and gives him, initiates him, so to say. And in our line, Narad gave that knowledge to Vasudev. And in this way, this process is flowing through a chain of disciplic succession. Chain comprises of links. One link to the other link. The spiritual master to disciple. In this way, through an unbroken chain of disciplic succession, this knowledge is flowing since time immemorial. So, that is the process, and as Subhas Prabhu mentioned, that today there's going to be an initiation. Actually, today's ceremony was Mundan ceremony. That was the main ceremony today. Mundan ceremony of Damodar. Is Damodar here? Where is he hiding? Okay. Bring him closer. Wow, he got a flower on his top knot. Damodar, ready for the ceremony? Okay, a little introduction of Damodar. Damodar is the grandson of Dwarkadhish and Lilavati. And very special son of, you can see, Nihar and Janavi. So everybody gets to know who Nihar is, since Dwarkadhish is a prominent personality in this community. But I'll say a few words about Janavi. Janavi's father was a great devotee. He was my godbrother, Srila Prabhupada's, one of the early disciples, joined at a very, very young age, and he committed himself completely to serve Srila Prabhupada. So much so that, let's not go into the details. Like, he's a very wonderful devotee. Just to give one example, how Krishna takes care of his devotee, and it has been demonstrated by my very dear godbrother, Shamlal Prabhu. Shamlal Prabhu actually developed brain cancer. And I have been told that brain cancer is extremely painful, extremely painful. And he was suffering from brain cancer for quite some time. Was it about 1.5 years? 18 months, yes. Yeah, 1.5 years. So, but surprisingly, he did not feel any pain. The doctors were shocked and surprised that he had two tumors in brain the size of two golf balls. So you can well imagine how much pressure there must have been on the brain. But he did not feel any pain, and he became just like a child. So much so that Shamlal Prabhu used to suffer from headache, and he often used to take painkillers. But from that time, he did not even get the headache. And but in spite of all this difficult situation, he was constantly speaking about Srila Prabhupada and Krishna. There was, especially during those 18 months, I have seen Shamlal Prabhu, he was in South Africa, he was in Durban. I mean, he wouldn't speak of anything else. He would just speak of Srila Prabhupada. He would remember what Prabhupada said. He would remember that Prabhupada told him not to worry about anything. He would take care of him. Just like a child, he would repeat it. And we could see how Srila Prabhupada actually took care of him. And prior to that, when he was hale and hearty, he was completely dedicated in serving Srila Prabhupada's mission. Kshudi Prabhu, you remember him, yeah. So Kshudi Prabhu is another wonderful disciple of Srila Prabhupada, joined at a very young age and committed himself completely serving Srila Prabhupada's mission. That reminds me also, Kshudi Prabhu actually was the person who went to South Africa as a 18-year-old boy, 19 years old, went to South Africa to start ISKCON movement in South Africa. So this is how, these very, very special personalities came to assist Srila Prabhupada in his mission. And that is my brief introduction to Janavi through her father, who was a very, very dear godbrother of mine. And he brought up Janavi in a very wonderful way, trained up, gave the best of both worlds, gave her the best of spiritual world and gave her the best of material world also. So, So today we are celebrating these two ceremonies. Damodar's, as I was saying, today the main ceremony was actually Damodar's. Damodar's Mundan ceremony or head shaving ceremony. But then, Rupal wrote to me that since there is going to be a fire sacrifice, why doesn't she also get initiated? I thought... I thought that's a very nice idea. As they say, catching two birds with one net. I didn't want to use the other expression because we don't believe in violence. So, and this is the thing, like Vedic culture leads one through his life into achieving perfection. This ceremony, every aspect has a specific ceremony of purification. There, although English word has been used as ceremony, but the actual connotation is a process of purification, or sanskar. This process of sanskar begins even before the child is conceived. Father and mother in Vedic culture go through a process called garbhadhan sanskar, to invite an appropriate soul to come and take shelter of the womb of the mother. Then the child is born, then the child gets name, and then the child gets various other, goes through other ceremonies. And one of these is Mundan, shaving the head. The child's head is shaved for the first time. And so that he gets rid of all the garbage in the head. And the only thing that remains is a tuft, sikha. The sikha is the flame of knowledge. And Srila Prabhupada kind of jokingly also said, the sikha is there, we keep the sikha so that Krishna can hold us by our sikha and pull us back to the spiritual world. Incidentally, it sounds like that way women have a better chance. They have long tuft of hair. Therefore, women don't shave their head. And so, so this is the process, Mundan ceremony. Then comes this ceremony of Diksha, Sanskar, by the process of receiving the mantra. These mantras are kept as a secret because these mantras are very, very powerful sound vibration. Just as a powerful weapon is not given to any body as such, unless and until one is qualified. Similarly, these mantras are not given unless and until one is qualified. However, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the Maha Mantra and made it available to anyone and everyone without any consideration of qualification. That is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. Since he saw that we, the living entities in the age of Kali, are absolutely unqualified. If there is a consideration of qualification, then no one will become eligible. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not consider any qualification to receive mantra, And he gave not only the mantra, the Maha Mantra, the greatest of all the mantras, and made it available to anyone and everyone. So, this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, the mantra is received by Mahaprabhu's mercy. Then the consideration is, then why Srila Prabhupada introduced this system of initiation in ISKCON? That is because the initiation has another consideration. The other consideration for initiation is surrender. At the time of initiation, one surrenders to the representative of Krishna, and then Krishna accepts him. Diksha kale shishya kare atma samarpan, shei kale Krishna tare kare atma samo. At the time of initiation, a disciple surrenders himself unto his spiritual master, and at that time Krishna accepts him. So this is the important aspect for which ISKCON, Srila Prabhupada introduced this process of initiation even for the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Surrender. And what is this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra? The Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is Krishna himself. Just as Krishna himself manifested in the form of deity, similarly in sound, Krishna has manifested himself as the Maha Mantra. This Maha Mantra is symbolic to or representative of Radha Krishna. This Hare is Hara in vocative, calling out, Hare. When Hara is addressed, Hare. This Hara is Srimati Radharani. And Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Similarly, Hare Rama. Rama is also indicating Krishna. Ramate iti Rama. So the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is actually the sound representative of Radha Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So by chanting this mantra, we are getting the association of Krishna. So initially, you remember, Krishna's flute, the sound of Krishna's flute manifested in the form of Omkar, and then from Omkar manifested the Gayatri, from Gayatri manifested the Vedas, and then the Vedas converged into this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So it's non-different from Krishna himself, and this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is Krishna himself. But mantra considers 10 offenses. Rupali, remember all those 10 offenses? Okay, so I won't ask you to repeat them. Or you want to repeat? Let's hear. Give her the mic. Let everybody hear. Okay.
The 10 offenses against chanting the holy names of the Lord. Number 1 is to blaspheme devotees who have dedicated their lives for propagating the holy names of the Lord. 2 is to consider the names of demigods like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma to be equal to or independent of the holy names of Lord Vishnu. 3 is to disobey the orders of the spiritual master. 4 is to blaspheme the Vedic literatures and literatures in pursuance of the Vedic version. 5 is to consider the glories of chanting Hare Krishna to imagination. 6 is to give some mundane interpretation on the holy names of the Lord. 7 is to commit sinful activities on the strength of chanting the holy names of the Lord. 8 is to consider the chanting of Hare Krishna as one of the auspicious ritualistic activities offered in the Vedas as fruitive activities, karma kanda. 9 is to instruct a faithless person about the glories of the holy name. And 10 is to not have complete faith in the chanting of the holy names and to maintain some material attachments even after understanding so many instructions on this matter. It is also an offense to be inattentive while chanting.
Wonderful. So, will you chant without committing offenses?
I will try my best.
Try. Very good. Very good. So, come. So, what are the 4 regulative principles? Yeah. So, we'll follow these 4 regulative principles. A few things about Rupal. I know Rupal, she was a little child. I saw her grow up so nicely under the guidance of her parents. So nicely since her childhood. And also, she had been so wonderfully guided by Nirantar Prabhu. I remember those days, they were all children, they were a group of little girls and boys, and Nirantar Prabhu used to guide them, train them, take care of them like their father. Nirantar Prabhu ki. And so, and we feel very happy that you are becoming so fixed up. Often when the children grow up, they drift away sometimes, but remain steady. And also Rupal recently got married to Sri Gokul Goloka Prabhu. Sri Goloka also I know from London, he was a little boy. Then Rupal was traveling with me in Australia. There they met each other. And then one day I got to know that they decided to get married. And recently, 6 months now? They got married. And after they got married, I noticed that Rupal became even more serious about her spiritual life. And the credit, I'm sure, goes to Sri Goloka. So how many rounds of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra will you chant every day? Minimum 16. Very good. And always remain in ISKCON at the shelter of Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet and never ever deviate from the lotus shelter of Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet. So on behalf of Srila Prabhupada, I give you the name Radha Mohini Dasi. Radha Mohini, Radharani, who enchants the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. The enchanter, Srimati Radharani's maidservant. Thank you. Become a very good devotee. Hare Krishna, offer obeisance to Prabhupada and deities and Nirantar Prabhu and Sabhas Prabhu. I also extend my heartfelt thanks to Ravindranath Prabhu, who very kindly adjusted the program to accommodate these 2 ceremonies. And Thank you so much, Rabindranath Prabhu. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande Hare Hare. So now Rabindranath Prabhu will conduct the fire sacrifice. And after the fire sacrifice, there will be the Mundan ceremony of little Damodar. Bless them. Please bless Rupal and, I'm sorry, Radha Mohini Devidasi and little Damodar. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari.
Kirtan first before.